two sheets of things you probably never asked or even wondered about fasting, but there they are. Once you get started, it's hard to stop. So what we want to call attention to is first the sheet that has on one side fasting in the New Testament, and the other side has the three columns of words, and this is every time these words is found in the King James, in the Old and New Testament. And they are listed in column one under the word fast, in column two, fasted, with fastings at the bottom, only four instances of that. And then the third column is for fasting. And let me just mention a note about the notation. Sometimes translations are not consistent with translating the same word in the same way. So in order to hopefully avoid confusion, we have a note about the New Testament words. Now, there are no notes about the words in the Hebrew. There's too many words and too many passages to delineate those. But in the New Testament, there are three related words. The first one, 3521, according to Strong, is the noun, translated fasting. Then there is the verb, 3522, which is translated fast or fasted. And then there's 3523, which only appears twice in Matthew 15:32 and Matthew 8:3, and is translated fasting. So you have noun, verb, and adjective. Now, all of the ones in column number one are from 3522, the verb. In column number two, under fasted, same thing. Both of those are verbs. Fastings in the New Testament is the noun, 3521. And you also find that in the third column as well, between that and the adjective 3523. Now, one other note, there's another word that is translated fasting. And it's from the scripture reading that we just had. One is a noun and one is a verb. 776, 777, that's the only time those appear in the New Testament. I don't know why a different word was chosen there. It just simply was. So that explains what's on that sheet. And there is one other note, and that is in Acts 27:9, the Day of Atonement is translated, even though it's the word fasting, it's translated as the fast. So you might find that odd, but that's the way they chose to do it. All right, well, that takes care of that particular page. Now, let me tell you about the other three sheets. We went through by occurrence. Some of these have several verses mentioned in connection, but it's the same event. Or sometimes the word fasting does not occur, as in ones with Moses that we talked about last Sunday evening. The word fasting doesn't occur, but the description of fasting does occur. So we tried to incorporate all of those occasions, whether the word was mentioned or not, in order. And we have 34 occasions in the Old Testament and 14 in the New. The 34 in the Old Testament are back-to-back on one page. And the 14 from the New are on the back of the three-column chart. Now, the rest of our time we want to mention, since the question was asked, what about fasting? Well, what about it? Why was it done? And we have eight purposes, roughly. You could probably divide some of these a little. But eight basic purposes for fasting that are given in the Bible. And the first one of these is found from the scripture reading that we had just a few moments ago in Acts chapter 27. This is listed under number 12 in the New Testament, and I believe would also include number 14. This is not self-imposed fasting, but externally imposed fasting. In other words, it's not because someone made a conscious decision that I want to fast. The reason is that conditions more or less dictated that. On the ship, as it was being thrown about the Mediterranean Sea, they knew that they could not eat. It would have made them all sick. So for 14 days, they went without food. And then finally, when it was just about time to have a kind of rough landing, Paul encouraged everybody to go ahead and eat. Then there are a couple of other occasions where Paul says that he had been in fastings often, a couple of places in 2 Corinthians, as you'll see on the chart there. These are not probably things that Paul chose to do, although he could choose to fast, but these were brought about by conditions. If you read all of the things in the chart that he lists as having occurred to him, none of them is willingly. They are all things that came about regardless. So that would be in this first category also. Sometimes there are reasons why people fast, but it has nothing to do with their own free will. It's simply imposed from outward conditions. Now we come to number two, and that is there are or is some fasting that occurs out of formality and insincerity. In the Old Testament, God questioned the insincerity involved in their fasts. And you can read about those if you look up the passages in Numbers 25, 26, 27, and 33. And in fact, God goes so far as to refuse to hear their prayers. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence." Now, why was God so irate with his own people? And the answer is that they were not sincere. They were doing what they wanted to do, and doing that, but still offering offerings, and still going through the motions fasting. But they were not living righteously, despite the prophet's warning to them. So God says, okay, you are showing outwardly these evidences of spirituality, but I know that you don't mean it. And therefore, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept your prayers. I'm not going to accept your fasting. I'm not going to accept your offerings. And so you do have that as a possibility then on the part of even God's own people. Now in the New Testament, number 7 calls attention to the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 and verse 12. You remember he was quite proud to announce why he was so much better than the publican who was praying. And one of those was, "I fast twice in the week." Well, there's nothing like being proud of your spirituality. And he was very proud of his. So what do you think that made it worth? It would be in the same category as those in the Old Testament who were doing the same thing. If you are religious or spiritual so that you can be proud of it, you've got the wrong motive. And God will not accept that. Well, let's move on then to the next one. And this is kind of unusual, and it's really only mentioned one time. And that is fasting apparently in connection with honoring someone. Now, what we see is apparently people called for a fast when they wanted to honor someone. We usually have a feast. We usually give somebody a dinner when we want to honor someone. But that wasn't the case in the time of Ahab and Jezebel. Number 13 on the Old Testament list shows that when they wanted to do away with Naboth, that Jezebel commanded the people to proclaim a fast and then honor Naboth. But while they were honoring him, men would arise and say, we heard him blaspheme God and the king, and they would take him out and stone him. And that's exactly what they did. But there seems to be a custom of having a fast in connection with honoring someone. I don't know that this is mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures, but it's mentioned there. So then let's go on to number 4, where we might call that some people fasted in connection with a sacred moment or a sacred time. And we put the first two in the Old Testament that we talked about last week in connection with Moses in this category. In number 1, he went up on the mount to receive the law of God, which God had spoken to the people, but which now was going to be put down in stone and given to the people. This was a holy time, and it was God's holy law that we're dealing with. And Moses did not eat or drink anything for 40 days. The same thing occurs when he went back up on the mountain to have those tablets restored because he broke them because of the people's sins. So numbers 1 and 3 would fall into this category. We might put number 4 from the New Testament in this category because the people had been there and listening to Jesus for 3 days, and they hadn't had anything to eat. And Jesus wanted to feed them lest they perish on their way home. So they gave up food. They gave that up because of the privilege and the honor that they had in hearing Jesus teach for 3 days. So that would fit well in that category. Now, as we come to number 5, this seems to be a rather frequent occurrence. And if you're looking at the Old Testament chart, you could put in this number 2, number 4, number 6, number 17, number 19, number 23, number 29, 30, and 31, and the New Testament number 11. What this concerns is fasting because of one's sins. The first one, number 2, we talked about last week. As Moses came down from the mount and saw the people reveling and already violating God's law, having made an image of a golden calf, he fasted for 40 days because God was of a mind to destroy them. And so because of their sins, Moses fasted. We have another illustration of that. On the Day of Atonement, they were to afflict their souls, as we talked about last week, and were fasting because of the need to have sins atoned. And then as you go down the list, you have 1 Samuel 7, 6, number 6 here. At Mizpah, they fasted because of their sins, and all of the other ones that I listed, those also were times in which people sinned. They realized their sin, and they were fasting because they wanted God's forgiveness. And so at such a time, fasting was appropriate. Now, the sixth category is a rather broad one, which I call fasting in time of sickness, death, persecution, sorrow, or calamity. So take your pick. It's a very broad thing. And in the Old Testament, that would include Numbers 5, 7, 8, 9, and 10, 18, 22, and 24. And in the New Testament, number 3. But this is because they have a time of duress in which they are trying to deal with it. Take, for example, number 7. Remember, Jonathan in his grief did not eat that day over the way his father was teaching, treating David, as we talked about last week. 1 Samuel 13:13, the men of Jabesh Gilead, after rescuing the bodies of Saul and his sons, burned them and buried their bones, and they fasted for 7 days. It was on account of the death. David likewise in number 9, and again in number 10 when Abner was slain. And so there are many times when this was done because of a great event that had occurred. They fasted with respect to those things and the events that were going on. The next category is close to that. It's preventing, or at least trying to prevent, impending tragedy or judgment to come. And we find those mostly in the Old Testament. Number 11, David, you may remember, fasted because of the child that had belonged to him and Bathsheba that had been struck. And he had hoped that by fasting and praying, God might relent. But of course, God could not relent from that particular thing. But that was what it was in connection with, that the child not die, but might be granted to live. Number 14 in the Old Testament. When Ahab heard the prophecy of the gruesome deaths that awaited him and Jezebel and his descendants, he fasted and lay in sackcloth. And because he humbled himself, God put that day off a little bit, but he did not change what was going to happen. Still, that was Ahab's goal in fasting. Number 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 3. When the attack by the Ammonites was imminent, Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast that they would be all right and survive this coming attack. Number 20, Esther. When the Jews, when the law went forth that gave permission for everybody to kill the Jews, the whole of the nation fasted. But more particularly, in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, before Esther went to the king, she and her maids and all in Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, but in the capital, Susa, she asked to fast so that she might have a good outcome when she approached the king and they could avert the impending tragedy that was coming upon the Jews. And then number 28 deals with that. That's kind of an interesting one, because a pagan king fasts so that Daniel will not be eaten by the lions. Yeah, I know, it was his decree. They had tricked him, his counselors had tricked him into signing the law that no one could pray to anyone, and Daniel continued to pray to God as he ought. So the king had no choice to put him in the lion's den, but he went home and fasted that night that Daniel might be all right. Imagine a pagan king fasting for a Jew. But he loved Daniel that he did that. And, of course, God did preserve Daniel. In number 32, we have the people of Nineveh fasted and wore sackcloth and submitted to God's will to avoid the destruction. Remember, when Jonah went to the city, he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So every one of them, from the least to the greatest, put on sackcloth and ashes and fasted, and that judgment was put off. That judgment did not come about for 100 years when the people's hearts turned back to evil once again. So fasting then was to try to avoid an impending tragedy. Then now we come to the last one, number 8. Another reason for fasting was for spiritual strength and success. Sometimes fasting is an expression of devotion to God in which we pray for some kind of spiritual success or some kind of spiritual strength in order to endure. In the Old Testament, number 16 deals with Ezra, who was going to lead back the people to Jerusalem from captivity. So before they set out on the journey, Ezra fasted and prayed for success in that venture. But in the New Testament, we have even more of these. We find, first of all, number 1, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights that he might be spiritually strong. Number 5, a demon could only be removed by prayer and fasting. And so that was for success in casting out of the demon. Number 6, Anna served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And that was for her own spiritual strength to be able to continue to be God's servant. And then number 8, Cornelius was fasting and praying when he saw the vision, and then afterwards sent to Peter. And so he was trying to please God. He was devoted to God, but of course he needed to hear the truth, and he did. Number 9, the prophets and teachers at Antioch were ministering to the Lord when the Holy Spirit told them to separate Barnabas and Saul for a special work. Then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and thus Paul and Barnabas departed on the first missionary journey recorded in Acts chapter 13 and 14. In number 10 on the New Testament list, fasting was in accompaniment with appointing elders in all of the cities that they had been to on the missionary journey, and they appointed elders on the way back, visiting all those congregations again. And then number 13, as we talked about last week, for spiritual purposes, a husband and wife could fast for a time, but then by consent, but then come together again, lest they be tempted. Now, one other thing, those are the 8 reasons that we find for fasting and the events associated with them in the Old Testament. We might ask, well, how is a person to fast? We already dealt with how long last week, when we showed that sometimes it would be as little as a day or up to 40 days and 40 nights, which most people probably are not going to go, but some included 3 days and some were 7 days. In other words, there's no scripture prescribed length for a fast. It's up to the individual. But as to how, we find that out in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 in the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that may appear to men to be fasting." Oh, are you fasting? How could you tell? They wanted it to be known. "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Again, this is insincerity. This is not to please God. This is to please yourself and have people say, the desire is to have people say, "Oh, what a spiritual person. Look, he's fasting again. His face is all disfigured." But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret places, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So whether it's fasting or giving or praying, the purpose is not to call attention to you. The purpose is to be humble before God. Well, I hope these bits of information are helpful on that particular subject. Of course, they don't tell us anything about how to be saved if you're lost, but they are an important subject, as every biblical topic is. But if you do not know how to be saved, then you have to first believe, and then, as we talked this morning, repent of your sins, one of those small words, sin, and then confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then do as those on Pentecost did when 3,000 were baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2, 38 through 41. If we can assist you in that, or if we can assist you in any spiritual endeavor, let us know while we